Reading from Sri Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchades 275 to 279, are Smarana remembrance. Fixing the mind on the Lord. If one's heart has become pure by surrender, service to devotees will embody truth. And hearing and singing the names, forms, attributes, and pastimes of the Lord, one can perform smaranam, a remembrance of the Lord. The practice of remembrance, however, should be undertaken without giving up nam kirtan, because the indispensability of singing the Lord's names was already expressed in this verse. O King, scriptures and learned authorities have concluded that singing and repeating the names of Lord Hari is the peerless method of success for all, including those desiring material enjoyment, those disinterested in material pleasure and aspiring to liberation, and those seeking knowledge of the Absolute. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.11. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Sivakaya Tatsurum Mulutam Yena Tatsmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kedhamayam Sadati Sapadantikam Adadana Sunam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Yulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Rasam Piyatnai Apaya Mamana Bhikshamandham Yapamburiya Paradhuka Dhuki Sanatana Sam Prabhu Masriyami Vancha Kalpa Karubhya Krishna Vancha kalpa trubhya cha kripa sindhu bhaye vacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasude Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So greetings from Newburgh, New Brunswick, New York. Actually it's Cornwall or New Windsor. It's the site of our Panihati festival. And I'm here so that Janava, along with Raghunath, who's my first disciple, can spend some time with me. She's here with her family, her husband, my godbrother Mahatma, and her very intelligent daughter, Bhaja Sundari. Mahatma wants to, with Janava, develop a business where they give basic seminars on Krishna consciousness, but just give various seminars on self-improvement, which many people do to maintain themselves in kind of a dominical and succinct way. And Mahatma has studied it very, very deeply, so they went to this Kripalu Institute to attend one of their seminars and to see actually how it works. And they were quite impressed with how the people organize things and et cetera. And we're just spending all today together discussing Krishna consciousness. It's very, very nice. And I'll be here till Friday, and then I'll head to Washington, D.C., where Gopi Manjari is teaching yoga, and my psychology of karma lecture is she's organized in one studio. She expects about 35 people to come. So I really enjoy doing that. Okay, we're going forward in this very wonderful study of the practices of devotional service. And here it talked about the purity of heart, which comes first by Sharanagata, taking shelter. And then, Gatitvam, having the conception that there is no other shelter to actually fully nourish and protect one than one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. And that's the beginning of bhakti. That faith is the entrance to devotional service, and service, satsanga, service to the devotees who embody truth, then shravanam, and not only hearing, and kirtan, not only hearing and kirtan, but hearing and singing the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. Then one comes to this advanced process of smarana, remembrance. So the last few weeks we were very fortunate, I feel fortunate, to have discussed kirtan, singing and chanting about the Supreme Lord. Now, I mentioned just a very simple realization. I'd like to repeat it again because I think it's so important that faith is not just a theoretical acceptance of some truth. It's a realized acceptance of a truth. It's an experience of the truth that gives one conviction in the sublimity of that truth. And it's something that can increase or recede, even though the theoretical acceptance can remain the same. That the, you know, the Supreme Lord, kirtan is the highest process, the most effective process of self-realization. Although that theoretical understanding can remain the same, but that realized understanding or that faith can increase or decrease. And to the degree of one's faith, the fee of one's conviction, generally is the degree that one can commit himself to a particular activity. I mentioned also before that some devotee called me up and they were concerned about devotees not being able to keep their vows, and they wanted to make a course for the devotees on the internet. They asked my opinion, and I had a strong opinion that the thing that I feel is most effective, and the thing which I feel the Shastra recommends to increase people's determination, is increasing one's faith by hearing, from the Shastra. Shastra Shraddha. We have faith that the Shastra is true. We have faith that certain people represent the Shastra. And when we hear from them, our conviction increases naturally. And this has been my experience with these classes, knowing different devotees and seeing the devotees that have been hearing regularly, seeing that their determination and their practices have generally naturally increased. And then, when your practices and determination naturally increase, you're also your Shastra Shraddha, your faith, that yes, in the Shastra and the direction of Shastra and the things that increases. And then, of course, associating with exemplars of particular devotional practices or devotional service in itself. So I felt personally fortunate, I mentioned this again, to go through that kirtan section because that was kirtan to me. That was kirtan to me. It was speaking about Krishna. And also specifically speaking about kirtan, I saw that my faith increased. Not my theoretical acceptance, but my realized acceptance. And I saw by the application of that, the focus of the mind, because the mind will become focused in two ways, a natural attraction or some understanding that it should be focused in a particular way. So I saw that my understanding, yes, it increased. My realization, it increased. So now just to bring you up to date, you know, we discussed the kirtan section and the different forms of kirtan, nam, rup, guna, lila, and offenses were discussed. And then it came to a discussion of Kali Yuga because Kaler Doshe Nidhe Rajan Eko Asti Mahagunan Kirtanat Eva Krishna Se Mukta Sangam Brahm Vijay. That especially Harinama Harinama Eva Kalo Nastevana. In this age, particularly this kirtan, is the Yuga Dharma and it's recommended. So the last part of the section on kirtan was discussing the speciality of kirtan for this age. And it made a very, very interesting point that kirtan is unlimitedly, devotion in the form of kirtan is unlimitedly merciful to those who are devoid of false prestige. And this is actually the point about Kali Yuga, that it described that people in Kali Yuga, because they're so bereft of material assets, even dravya, material things in this age are so much reduced. Practically speaking, people in this age have never tasted a real fruit. I once tasted a real fruit. I planted a seed in a garden in Vrindavan, and a mango tree, a papaya tree grew. And you know, you just don't get fruits. Fruits are tasteless when you actually get a real fruit. So even dravya, even material things are reduced. Our austerities are reduced. Our ability, the disturbance of our mind, our charity, our learning. So he mentioned that in this age, there's a great facility if one is not contaminated by atheistic views. There's a great facility in this age to be humble, actually, if we think of ourselves and think of our abilities. And that humility creates more need for mercy. So it creates more relevance for the name. And therefore, in this age, one can submit himself humbly. And therefore, from the heart, feel the need for Krishna's mercy in the form of the holy name. And the holy name, because Sankirtanaika Pitaro, it's given by Lord Chaitanya, there's a special disposition of mercy, that holy name to descend into your heart. And therefore, it discusses that actually in this Kali Yuga, by this process of Namkirtan, taking cognizance of our weakened and fallen position, and taking shelter of the holy name, that there's a great opportunity to actually achieve fixity on the absolute truth. Even if you don't have a controlled mind, by this kirtan, especially with musical instruments in the association of other devotees that are like-minded, and it's actually a fact. You don't have to be a great yogi. But if you dedicate yourself to kirtan, you glorify kirtan, if you participate in kirtan, if you actually understand the mercy that we're getting by the Sankirtan movement, you can achieve a level of fixity in mind. And then there were many verses that what can ever be attained in other yugas is easily attained in this age. Because of that ability in kirtan, for a humble soul, looking at his lack of means and attributes for self-realization, putting his hands in the air and taking shelter of kirtan. So whatever is attained in other yugas is easily attained. What? The fixity of mind. And therefore, there's so many verses that were quoted, therefore those who are guna gya, they perceive the virtue in everything, they glorify Kali Yuga. For this reason, because in other yugas, because of people's attributes and the nature of those attributes to create ego, to want to do austerities and want to have elaborate sex, people wanted to do things big. So in the other ages, they weren't so inclined to take to a process that's so simple as lifting your hands in the air and moving your lips. But because Shiva Goswami is a scholar, he gives another analysis. You should not think kirtan is due to the Kali Yuga. It's powerful in all times. It's just that the people in Kali Yuga tend more to gravitate towards that type of process, which leads to this absorption. And you know, I can remember, you know, when I was in India full time in India, now I'm there half the time, and I joined this kirtan in this place called Farukabad, which in the thousands of years ago it's Panchal Desh, where Draupadi had her swayam bar, and I went to this place because there were two children that were my students who came from a Radharaman Goswami family who had moved years ago to this city to open up a Radharaman temple. In fact, I was giving lectures from Udupi in India. One of those boys is the Ayurvedic doctor that flew me to Udupi and gave me all facilities and took care of me for a couple of weeks there this year. I remember entering that kirtan at 9 o'clock at night with B.B. Govindaswamy, a few Bengali devotees expert, a few African-American devotees that are expert. I remember Radha Charan was also there. You know Radha Charan. He was also very expert. He was Kamal Krishnaraj's assistant. And I just remember we entered into kirtan. Although it was at night and it was very hot and austere, we entered into that kirtan. I remember just, you know, saying, oh my God, it's 9 o'clock, we're starting, you know, my mind was thinking, oh, how we... But I remember the power of that kirtan. At 6 hours later, it was 3 a.m, we completely absorbed. That's a high level of fixity of mind. That's meditation for 6 hours. And it's completely absorbed. Very difficult to achieve, but in Kali Yuga you can do it by this process of kirtan. And it's superior to, he mentions, remembrance. Because it's easier to control the physical senses than the mind. So in so many ways, this Shastriya Shraddha, Shastra from the Bhagavatam about the glories of kirtan, hearing it again and again. I know for me, when I chant now after hearing this, there's much greater relevance. Yes, wow, mercy, the holy name is descending. And then, because Shiva Goswami is a scholar and he's glorified kirtan in Kali Yuga, he takes the other side. It's an easy process because of atheism, heretical views, people do not take it up so easily. And then he quotes from the Bhagavatam. And then he ends that section on kirtan by describing that there's other practices. For example, you can pray before the deities, expressing your feelings of humility. You can beg the personal aspirations. You can recite. They're all parts of kirtan. And furthermore, as always mentioned, the kirtan recommended in the Bhagavatam, the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord spoken in the Bhagavatam. That's the highest of all. So we finish this kirtan, and this kirtan is mentioned here. There's a sadhana kram. There's a step-by-step process. In fact, I'm writing this paper, but, you know, with this traveling, it's not conducive to writing. But I'm writing this paper on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Raghunuga Bhakti. And it has a lot to do with the kirtan. And a lot of it's quoted from these sections. Because the present presentation of Raghunuga Bhakti generally recommends, or they, you know, in Radha Kund, etc., that, you know, it recommends at the beginning advanced meditations. But if you see, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, going back to books like Bhakti Siddhanta, what does the Six Goswamis say? They say the heart has to become pure before you can engage in the practice of smarm, which means a minute investigation with the mind. See, because kirtan engages the senses, and you see, if you engage in a meditation, it means you withdraw the senses from all objects. But if your heart is filled with material desires, then the consciousness goes to the senses. But because you've withdrawn the senses from devotional service, when the consciousness goes to the senses, it will search out the dictates of the mind. Whereas in kirtan, the senses are engaged in devotional service. They're absorbed in all the senses are absorbed in devotional service. So even if the mind wanders towards the senses because of the impurity of the heart, the mind will contact transcendence because the ears are filled with the sounds of the holy name, and one's fingers are playing card piles, one's hands are in the air, you know, one's looking at the deities, he's seeing the devotees. All the senses are engaged in kirtan. So here he says, it's a very powerful quote today, that one's heart has become pure, and then he lists all the other practices up until this point, then one can perform smarana. But we should take note, it's hearing and singing in an order, hearing of the name, hearing of the forms, hearing of the attributes. So in our practice of devotional service, as we advance and we get a taste for Krishna consciousness, then we can begin to absorb ourselves in hearing about the pastimes of the Lord and chanting about the pastimes of the Lord. And so that itself is an advanced stage, hearing Krishna Lila, chanting Krishna Lila. But by this process, and if we begin chanting with the name, and within the name, naturally, if you can focus on the name, then you will think of the form of the name, Krishna, 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 Krishna. We'll think of the form of the name. It's Krishna. We'll think of the qualities of the name, the compassion of Krishna. And finally, by hearing and chanting, we'll be thinking about the pastimes. And the chant, you know, naturally want to hear and chant about the pastimes of Krishna. This is all before one becomes qualified for smarana. And if you do become qualified for remembrance, you don't give up non-kirtan because, Jiva Swami, is the indispensability of kirtan. It was already expressed in this verse. That was Ekanivijamananam Ichakam Akuto Bhayam Yoginam Nipanirmitam Hariyanamanu Kirtanam. This particular verse, it must have been the third or fourth time that Jiva Goswami is quoted in this passage, because it's the answer to Maharaj Prickett's question, what is the duty of a man who's about to die? That's the seminal question of the whole Bhagavatam. And the answer here is the peerless method of success for all, Hari Nam Anu Kirtanam. That's the peerless method of success for all. So, even if you come to the platform of Smaran, you do not give up kirtan, because it's the peerless method to success for all. And the fruit of Smaran, the fruit, the prime fruit of the remembrance is devotion, because you're thinking of Krishna. But still, the prime practice for doing that always remains non-kirtan. Of course, at a particular advanced stage, the remembrance of Krishna may come to the forefront of the mind, and the kirtan, which continues, may recede, almost like the background music for the lila of Krishna. But one never gives that up. It's the support, it's the basis. It's the chief focus. So now he describes this practice. This practice of Smaran entails minute investigation of the mind. So what does this mean? It requires purity and it requires knowledge. If you're going to investigate with the mind, you have to have understanding. Investigation of the mind, you're investigating Krishna. So people who do Smaran, you have to have something to think about. And people who do remembrance of Krishna, they have a detailed understanding of Krishna. They have a detailed understanding of Krishna. What he looks like, what he does, the birds that are there in different parts of the season. If they're meditating in spring, they'll know what birds are there in Braj in spring and the varieties of birds and what the weather is like. And they'll, if they think at a particular time of the day, they'll know what Krishna does at that particular time of the day. They'll know the different devotees who are in relationship with Krishna at particular times of the day. They'll know what dress and color. It's a minute investigation of the mind. It's to control the mind on Krishna. It's a very meditative process. So I do know people in Vrindavan who are creative and pure, God brothers, some of them, rare, who engage in this process of Smaran. But to engage in this process of Smaran, they're always reading and remembering the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. They're always reading and taking notes. They all have notebooks to remember different verses that give them remembrance of Krishna. Not only remembering the details, the physical details, but remembering the moods of the various devotees, remembering how the devotees think in particular ways. And it's not just artificial. It comes after a purity of the consciousness by chanting and hearing and remembering. And the devotees, the few that I think, they chant substantially. So it's minute investigation with the mind, and it's of various types, as it pertains to the name, form, or other attributes of the Lord. So Smarana means you can remember the name, remember the form, you can remember the qualities, and finally you can remember the pastimes. So we can do Nam Smarana, and we can chant within our mind. We can meditate on the syllables. We can meditate on the meaning of the syllables. Raghunath Das Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they would do Nam Smarana. And they would sing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They would sing Radharani and Krishna together. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Then they would think they're separated. Hare Ram, Hare, union. Different ways, different meanings. And they would meditate on each syllable. Very controlled minds. A general definition of smaranam, remembrance, is given by the Lord. This is in the Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, 13th chapter, 14th verse. By the four Kumaras. And the four Kumaras were Jnana Bhaktis, and they would meditate. Withdrawing the mind from everything else and fixing it directly on me is called yoga, as taught by my disciples such as Sanaka. That's spoken by Sri Krishna himself to Uddhava. Withdrawing the mind from everything else and fixing it directly on me. Very difficult. We're not qualified. We have to become purified. And when I think of some devotees who are inclined to this, because not everybody has to take the smarana, some people can just be chanting and hearing. When I think of devotees who take to this, it's substantial sukriti by sharanagati, surrender, and taking shelter of Prabhupada's mission and serving in a very, very dedicated way. In this verse, the correlative pronoun, yata, by which, and eighth of on that, renders this sense. Yoga is that by which the mind is fixed on me. So this is real yoga. In the Skanda Purana as well, Brahma makes this statement about remembrance. Quote, through scrutinization of all the scriptures and repeated deliberation upon them, it is unequivocally concluded that one should always remember the name of Lord Narayana. So people would do Manasa Japa. Just nam, they would just think. And you can see, actually, we have an external sense and we have an internal sense. And the hearing, actually, with the internal sense is more important. Because you can be sitting in a class and your mind can wander. And do you hear the class? I always make that point. Is hearing actually just a product of the senses? No. But when we hear and it activates the external ear, we're more likely to hear it in the internal ear, the internal sense. And therefore, loud chanting is recommended because it's easier to control the mind and actually hear the holy name internally. But those who are very, very advanced, without activating the external sense of hearing, they can activate the internal sense of hearing within the mind. Everyone right now, you can chant one mantra in your mind. Everyone. So you all heard the Hare Krishna mantra within your mind. That's Nam Smarnam. Now, so he gives a quote, remembrance of the Lord's name is described in the Javali Samhita. Javali Samhita, just see the libraries that the six Goswamis had. So he quotes, those who desire varieties of bliss should simply chant, remember, sing, and praise the name of Hari incessantly. So very nice. Who? Those who desire varieties of bliss. Do you desire varieties of bliss? Then do this. Incessantly. You want bliss? Do this. Incessantly. Chant. Remember. And what happens again? We don't have faith. But if you hear this enough times, you hear again and again enough times, your faith, your determination, the relevance of the name, yes, this can give me satisfaction in heart. A pure heart is required, however, for remembrance of the Lord's name. For the Lord's name, a pure heart is recommended, is required. So it's required. Even for Nam
even for non-smart, what to speak of Lila smart, what to speak of remembering the Lord's pastimes. So when I read this, this is very nice because it so much supports how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and that's what I'm writing about, and I'll share the papers with all of you soon. I think I can finish it by the end of the month. This is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He's following the six Goswamis. A pure heart is required, however, for remembrance of the Lord's name. Therefore, it is not as effective as kirtan. But this is not clear. In the above verse. Remembrance of the Lord's form is described in these words of sutra. So now, you can remember the Lord's form. Gauri Jampabhu used to do this at the Japa retreat in Govardhan. If any of you ever in Govardhan after Kartik, he does a retreat, generally with Satchinandana Swami, and it's by the side of Govardhan Hill. And it attracts a very high quality of devotees. I remember, I mean, it was spectacular, but I remember there's this one devotee from Germany, disciple of Satchinandana Swami, and she organizes these dramas. And when you do dramas out in the far, like on that western side of Govardhan, in the forest with the trees, and there's natural cows, and they do these dramas. I remember this one lady played Krishna. It was such an amazing thing. And then the bridge bosses come around to watch it, and they feel like they're seeing Krishna by the side of Govardhan Hill. And they sometimes bring real cows for the drama. And I remember, and this is really Srila Prabhupada's mercy, so I remember they had one drama about the gopis. It was about Gaur Govinda Swami explained one of the reasons or one of the explanations of Lord Chaitanya is Radharani is Krishna. I forgot how it goes. Is Krishna having to beg Radharani? So anyway, comes in the form, Radharani's angry and Krishna has to come in the form of a sannyasi. I forgot the whole story, I don't remember it, but I remember there were these gopis, and they were, you know, they were really, I was sitting there, and actually even this one Western Vaishnava Vallabha, I gave him a call because he lives in Govardhan Hill, and he came to the drama. His name is Shandas. He does all the yoga, he's going to be doing kirtan and the Kripalu and the Omega Institute. He's written about 20 books on Vaishnavism. So I gave him a call because he lives near there in Jatipur, and he came down. And, I mean, he told me very frankly, he said, I've never seen a drama like this in my life. He said, let's take this all through America. He was serious. But one thing I was seeing is that what happens every year in Govardhan is that these Iranian devotees come. And Iranians, they almost look like Kashmiris, like high-class Indians. And they have a very similar culture. Because I used to take the Iranian devotees every year around Govardhan. And the ones that they that became devotees were very high-class. One of the men was one of the four nuclear scientists in Iran. This is about 10, 15 years ago. So they couldn't they wouldn't harass him too much from as long as his preaching stayed in certain parameters, because he was one of the four nuclear scientists, and you know how they wanted that nuclear bomb. I remember I used to take him around. His name was Mahaprabhu, and these were the most pious people. But I remember this one Iranian lady. She played one of the gopis, you know, and she couldn't do that in Iran. I mean, the freedom she felt. to dance with the gopis and, you know, dress up. And she was really an actress. But I guess it was repressed in that country. So with Voyage on Ava, I just, my mind just went to Govardhan. I just got a little bit off track. But at those retreats, Voyage on used to do things where people in their minds would have their own Krishna. And they would serve their own Krishna. It was a very nice meditation. Just a little bit remembrance is good like that. So, so this is a verse about remembrance of the Lord's form. Continuous remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna destroys all inauspiciousness, extends tranquility, purifies the heart, awards bhakti to the Supreme Lord, and bestows knowledge accompanied by realization and attachment. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:1255 at the end. So continuous remembrance, that's smart, right? Because the mind cannot think of two things at once. Can't think of your body and think of Krishna. Can't think of your family and think of Krishna. I mean, in terms of remembrance. I mean, you can see your family's relationship with Krishna in some way, I'm sure. You can't think of two things at once, so the mind has to be so pure. And according to the yoga system, you see, if the mind, it says a pure heart is required. What is a pure heart according to the Pantanjali yoga system? The pure heart according to the Pantanjali yoga system is you have to be free from four things. One, what? Liar or ignorance. Lethargy. You can't remember Krishna if you're lazy. You have to be energetic and fixed. You can't be lazy. You can't go to sleep. You have to be free from loya, which is sleep or laziness, vikshepa or distraction. You can't, a pure heart is required for smart. If you're distracted, if your mind is here and there, how can you engage in continuous remembrance? And kshaya, you must be free from internal samskaras for sense gratification. They have to be burnt. They have to be inactive. And rasavad, you know, a variety of mundane tastes that draw the consciousness externally. So otherwise this continuous remembrance of the Lord's lotus feet, his form, can't take place. And devotion characterized by love for Krishna is the prime fruit of remembrance. All others are secondary. Now, it's going to, you know, describe this. I'm going to give you coming attractions because this is a lot to think about. It's going to describe this as actually five stages. I think generally in Pantanjali they describe three. Yeah, they do, because they describe dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. So jiva gives five. Smaranam, which means just occasional remembrance. That's not real smaranam to practice, but of course we can engage in it. Occasional remembrance, right? Think about Krishna. You can think about Krishna. You can even think about his form occasionally. Then after that, there, and we're going to go over these next week, then there's dharana. You withdraw the mind from external objects. And smarana means, the first one, smarana, is an evolution of remembrance. Even in this process of remembrance, initially, you'll think of the Lord in whatever manner and to whatever extent you can. And then you'll be able to withdraw the mind, that's dharana, from external objects and fix it in a general way on the Lord. Then you'll come to jhana, meditation, which means you'll be able to specifically contemplate and investigate with the mind. It's more like specific. And then at a particular time, you'll come to Dhruvana Smriti, which it's non-stop. It's like when you pour honey. You know, you pour a big jar of honey. There's no gap in between. It just flows. So the pastimes of the Lord will flow at that particular time. Swadhisthiti, it's also called. There's two types of there's one thing called mantra upasana, where there's a mantra like ching pam ani prakarasad nisu kopaviksha maksha vitesu surabhya vipalya. Krishna with his cows, Vrindavan. You're remembering a picture. So that's mantra upasana. And then there's swadhisthiti, which means you're watching a movie. So juvana smriti is when it comes to the point you're actually watching a movie. You may begin with mantra upasana, meditating on particular verses. Vaharpitam natavarabha bhukarni yokarni karyam bibrad vishad konika kafi sam vajayanti chamavam bibrad vishad golden dhoti. You're remembering bibram. Baharpidam Natharavat, peacocks that are dancing, form, carnival, you know, tulips in his ears, and so many things. But then Dhruvana Smriti is flowing. And then finally, the highest stage comes. Someone is giving us difficulty with the phone. Thank you. No, not thank you. Someone, I don't know, it sounds like they're breaking dishes or something, I don't know. Anyway, the final stage is samadhi, which is, you know, Dhruvana Smriti is a constant remembrance. The elevated devotees, they're just watching like a movie of Krishna's pastimes. It's so spontaneous from the heart. But the stage of samadhi, but there's cognizance of their surroundings. In samadhi, there's not even cognizance of their surroundings. They're so absorbed, they forget where they are. So it's a deep subject. I'm going to stop now and see if there are any questions.
Maharaj, this is the number of
the yes, Maharaj. Okay, Kadamba Mala, and then the next person. Yes, Kadamba?
I just wanted to try to clarify one of those points that you made before. And
please, thank you.
I've heard you say it before, and I don't usually listen on Wednesday, so I apologize if this is something that
don't worry,
said already.
Sure.
You were talking about how kirtan is the highest.
Yes.
And does that... Also, like, does kirtan include japa, or is that something that's separate from japa?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's interesting because other a trucker spoke to me about this personally. What it said here is generally kirtan does mean singing, but at the last section of the kirtan section, he says that it refers to there's also speech of the Lord, which is Krishna Katha, prayers, also. Kirtan means glorifying the Supreme Lord. So japa is also kirtan. I'm also doing kirtan now. I'm explaining about Krishna. When you offer prayers, that also can be kirtan in one sense. Of course, it's also vandanam. But he also discussed that kirtan, and specifically sankirtan, which means with musical instruments and others, is superior. And the superiority of a devotional practice means it's facility it gives you to fix the mind. So it doesn't, you know, if you perform another activity and your mind is fixed, it's just as good. The goal is fixing the mind. But it's superior in the sense that it's the most effective way of fixing the mind. Thank you, Kadamba. That's good that clarified. Someone else had a question?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Hare Kirtan.
Hare Kirtan.
Maharaj, thank you very much. I'm glad I could make it for a change on Wednesday. And my question actually is not really about the topic itself, but just a request that since I'm going to be moving to D.C., I'd be interested to contact Oki Manjari. You said she's...
Yes.
So if at your convenience I can get that information, that would be very helpful.
Well, very nice. And if you... really nice people. Gopi Manjari and her husband, Ralitha Madhava, super nice people. And anyway, very nice. The best way is if you send me an email, and I'll immediately... I'll just give you her information. Thanks. That's great, great. Very good. Anybody else have a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Nanda Dulal.
Nanda Dulal, Hare Bhav.
Maharaj, I want to just clarify the Mataji asked that Kirtan, this is the superior, and I think in Japa and Kirtan, as you mentioned, that's true. In Japa, because we are not pure, we can't concentrate mind too much, but in Kirtan, at least we can, you know, flow ourselves. Forget other things. It is my personal experience that's true. I know that when a job or the mind goes here, there, but at least it's different. So, you know, I appreciate you for you for bringing it again. That's very nice.
Someone gave me some tapes of about 50 lectures of Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj. He was a great scholar. And I listened to the first tape, and the second tape is an analysis of Kirtan and Japa. So I'm anxious now to hear that tape, Kirtan and Japa. I mean, just to see it from different angles, but I'm sure it's the same perspective here. But again, then we say, then why do we chant, you know, Japa? Well, Japa means you're directly confronting the mind, and you're taking a particular vow. So it's also kirtan, you know, but it's not with the musical instrument. I know I read this one book from this Bengali scholar. He lived in Vrindavan in 1960. And, you know, he used to do, but, you know, he was telling about his spiritual practice, you know, but he said he would do, you know, and he would do kirtan every day for 2 hours, you know. So it seems, what?
He did alone or, you know, with somebody?
Well, kirtan, you can do it alone, or if you do it with others, it's better. Kirtan, even though Swami says, well, kirtan is alone, sankirtan is with others. I guess he was in Vrindavan. You know, there's always kirtan. But I'm just saying, I get this sense. And if you look how Prabhupada organized ISKCON, basically, when I first came, you know, this you start with kirtan in the morning, 45 minutes Mangalarti. Then there's, you know, a half hour Guru Puja. That's also kirtan. I was there, you know, when I first came, there was no Tulsi Puja, and there was no Guru Puja. I mean, Prabhupada, he organized the program. It wasn't like a set program that this is what they do. He looked at his disciples, and he organized a specific program. And I remember when we added Guru Puja. And then I remember when I came to the temple and Hari Kesh Maharaj at that time came back from India and said, you know, Prabhupada wanted us to do this Tulsi Puja. That's also kirtan, right? And then, of course, in the evening, it was also kirtan. And they used to call that the sandwich, the ISKCON sandwich program. So actually, there was just as much kirtan as there was japa. And then devotees would go out all day on Harinam Sankirtan. They would do kirtan on the street. And it was famous in New York City. They'd send out several kirtan parties. And
So, you know, Prabhupada obviously stressed kirtan, but japa meditation, it wasn't like that was even the main activity. That was 2 hours a day. You know, Prabhupada was into the process, chanting and hearing about Krishna all day long. And we may be working, but we should organize our lives in a way that, you know, that it's not like we go to the end of our life, you know, but that, you know, that's the Varnashram at a particular time, some kind of, you know, we should be organize our lives so that we're free and we don't have to work in our old age somehow, and that we can chant and hear about Krishna all day. That's the process. So, you know, in various forms.
I have a question. Now, you know that when you participate in kirtan, like arati, it's different. Then, is it okay to just listen to kirtan in a tape or CD? Is it the same effect?
Kirtan means chanting, and then there's also hearing. So that's kind of hearing. It's absorbing, yeah. Of course it is. Of course it is. But when you're in a kirtan, you also chant, right?
Right.
The person chants, then you chant. So you're chanting and hearing, chanting and hearing, chanting and hearing. So if you listen to a tape, you're just hearing, but maybe if you sing along with the refrain, then that's also kirtan. But I'm just saying, the idea is fixity of the mind. And it's easy to do in proper music, in the proper melodies, the proper rag, coming from, you know, the heart of someone who has devotion. It's amazing how you can become absorbed. I'm always amazed when Niranjan Swami leads a kirtan, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. You immediately become absorbed, you know? There's a certain quality. There's a certain thing where you become absorbed. And in that regard, you know, we are having the 24-hour kirtan here at Mayapur Chandra's on the 23rd of the month, which will be a nice absorption. If anybody's in the area, and I'm certainly going to participate, and it's very auspicious because it's going to be the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami also, which I'm completely into. Okay.
That's on
23rd? That weekend, around there. Something like that. Okay, it's the 24th. The 24th and 25th, maybe. Anybody else like to ask a question? Okay, anybody like to say Hare Krishna or ask a question? Anybody say Hare Krishna? Who's that?
Hare Krishna.
Who is it?
It's Gail and Samantha.
Oh, Samantha. Is that you, Samantha?
It is. Hare Krishna. How are you?
Very, very good. Better? Oh, I got you. You returned my call to you, and then you returned the call. I'll probably try to call you tomorrow. Okay?
Wonderful. Thank you, Jamaraj.
Yeah, I'll try to call you. And that was you, Gail, saying Hare Krishna?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Hare Krishna, Gail. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? One more person. Who's that?
Thanks, Bhakti. Hare Bol. Thanks.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Well,
maybe want to give up all my business and go and live in Vrindavan.
Well, that's the purpose of the class. I mean, we just got to figure out a way to do it.
Yeah, that's the rub.
That's the rub. Yeah. Yeah. Well, one person told me, one who is pure in thought, this is what Ramesh Baba told me, this great saint that lives on Mankutir in Vrindavan. I brought our group in. He says, one who is pure in thought is pure in action. One who is pure in action is pure in habit. One who is pure in habit is pure in character. One who is pure in character is pure in destiny. So it all begins with the thought and the prayers. And then, yeah. Well, but wherever we are, we can chant. Wherever we are, we can chant.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, chant. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Maharaj, Hare Krishna, this is Kuzi. Just want to let everyone know this is starting on Friday the 24th and Friday the
3rd. It's Friday the 24th and at 5 o'clock I will be there. If there's no one else that has come by that time, because by the time Saturday and all the good kirtaneers come, I will happily just recede to the audience. But I will be there. Very good. Thank you, Kuladeep. Kuladeep works at night, and he listens to the Sangha. And just happy that his boss is not a devotee. He would also be listening to the Sangha. Okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, this was so nice to hear from people, and it's nice that some people I haven't heard for are now also on the Sangha more, and we will all just pay our obeisances to all the assembled Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. We're just like desire trees, can fulfill the desires of everyone, and are full of compassion for the fallen souls. Panchakalpa Kurubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayedacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnadevyo.